Good morning, everyone. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us here this morning. And welcome to each and everyone that has decided to come out today and to be under the teaching of God's Word. And God bless you for that. It is an action. You need to get up in the morning and decide to go to church. And like Brother Aaron was saying, that we're so grateful that we can meet here in person. I truly love to see everyone's faces, the smiles, and the joy that you're having. So that's a tremendous blessing. Yeah, and I also see that Margaret and Ben are back. Welcome back. I hope you had a good trip. And for those of you that have traveled some hours to come and to be here together with us, God bless you for that as well. And yeah, so before we go into the service, I would also like to pray yet. Father God, thank you for your mercies that are new every day. Thank you for today that we can be here together, assembled as believers, being encouraged and admonished at the same time here in this building. And Father, thank you what you already have done this morning, the beautiful songs that we are able to sing and for the children's lesson. Thank you for that, Father. And may you just further teach us here this morning as well. And as we leave here, for those that are traveling, that you would give them safe travels. And may we all just be encouraged leaving here. And may you have your way with us here this morning as well. And just also pray that your blessings would be poured out upon us. We need it, Lord. We need spiritual food, and that's what we desire here this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, for an opening verse here, I would like to just read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the first two verses, what say. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, which means helped. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And why, as we were in prayer time this morning, these verses came to my mind that I would like to share. And just focus in on the last part there. It says there, now is the day of salvation. So for all you hearers here this morning, especially for those that have not decided to follow God, today is the day of salvation. And the topic that I want to touch today, it's a very, very important topic. I know the whole Bible is important, but these are daily things that we deal with that I want to preach about today. And I want to touch on temptation. So I'm sure you're all familiar with temptation. Do you face those sometimes? Good. Yeah, it's definitely evident in our life, especially as Christians. When you think of the word temptation, do you think any good out of that word, temptation? Because most of the time in the Bible, it has to do with when they're being tempted. A lot of times they don't succeed, right? They fall to the flesh side when they're getting tempted. So that's why you get the picture sort of like a negative thing. But there's good that can come out of temptation. Because I always like to go into the Greek as well. And there was, I think, like four different numbers in Greek. I just chose two of them. But in the Thayer definition for just the word tempt, it's the Greek word, or the number 1598. It says here to prove, test thoroughly. So it's to test you thoroughly. In this number here, it seems to me, in the New Testament, I think I found about three verses there. It seems to be that it's geared towards God or Jesus, this number here. And I chose a couple of verses. One is out of Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus says here, Jesus says unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's where I got that number from. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, it says there, neither let us tempt Christ. So that tempt there is the 1598 again. Let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. See, there's another tempted in that same verse, but that's a different number, which I'm going to touch on right after. So I'll read the verse again. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. And then there's another number. It's 3985. I believe there's 3985, 3986, and 3987. They all have to do with tempting. And I just chose 3985 because that was the most used when I was studying this. And that one is also, like the definitions, they're pretty close. But this one says here, to test, to endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline, examine, go about, prove, or tempt. So it has a couple more words in there. And yeah, just different words that were used in the New Testament, like I said here, tried, examine, or prove. They would have the same number. So just to get us a little familiar with the word tempt, it can be a bad thing, but it can also be a good thing what God uses as believers. So with that said, I would like to, there's going to be three of them that I'm going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the Garden of Eden, and then Jesus' temptation that he had in the wilderness, and yeah, and then I'm just going to have some concluding verses there. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and see what we can learn from that temptation that Adam and Eve had there in Genesis chapter 3. So we're going to do quite a bit of scripture reading, but I think it's good. It's God's word. So let's start in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter and then I'm going to bring out some points from that. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the women, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Sorry, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the women said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the women, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For thus thou art, and unto dust. Sorry, I'll repeat that there. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now that's a lot of reading here, but there's great teachings in here, and it's in Genesis chapter 3 already. It's not much further after the creation that temptation was there. And what I wanted to bring out here was how subtle the serpent was. You know, first of all, he questioned Eve, Yea, hath God said? And how many times do we face that today? Where there's things in our lives that are questionable, and you know Satan, he's always there questioning things and tries to get us confused as believers. And here the serpent tells Eve, Yeah, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? So with that question there, Eve in verse 6 here, she gave in to what the serpent was tempting her with. And what did she let come in between her and God? It was the desires of the flesh. And when you think about the flesh, when you yield to the flesh, it never comes out the way it should when you are being tempted. So I'm going to read verse 6 here again. And it says there, And when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. You see that? Pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Just thinking about Satan here. Did he lie? He had some truth in it, right? He was saying that if they would do that, they would become wise. And later on in the chapter, I believe it's verse 21 here. Actually, no, it's knowing good and evil. That's what Satan was saying here as well, that they would know good between evil. And that's what did happen after she would have eaten from it, from that fruit. So just a question to the congregation here. We know we have Satan as the enemy, but what's the next thing that is the most thing that... Yeah, what is the greatest enemy we as Christians battle with other than Satan?
Ourselves.
Any other thoughts? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we have Satan that we're always battling with, but I didn't write the verse down, but the verse says that the spirit always wars against the flesh. So they're always at battle with each other. And what did Eve do here? She gave in to the flesh, the eyes, what she was seeing. And also that it would make one wise. Everybody wants to be wise today, right? I hope so anyways. I know I want to be wise. But this was fleshly speaking here. And so, yeah. The next thing I would like to look at as well is when they had eaten of this fruit, what did they notice first? That they were naked, right? So now they were starting to think different. And I don't know how big fig leaves must have been back in the day, but I have a fig tree and the leaves are about this big. So I just had to think of the women sewing their dresses. You know, try to sew a fig tree dress. That would take a long time, right? So I'm sure the leaves were bigger back then, but now I was just picturing it since I had a fig tree. Those leaves, they're actually not that big. But they noticed right away that they were naked. And then here in verse 12 and 13, we see here, well, first of all, God speaks to Adam first, right? So take note of that. That men, we are accountable for our homes. And so God spoke to Adam first, and what does he say? The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So the blame game started here, you know? So let's take heart here when we face these things, that we don't blame each other, and that's what was happening here. And, verse 13, it says here, and the Lord God said unto the women, what is this that thou hast done? And the women said, the serpent beguiled me. So the list goes on, right? And I did eat, she says. And then verses 14 through 19, we see here that God cursed the serpent, he cursed the woman, and he cursed the man. I had to think, how many things have happened in our life? I think I can just think about myself. I've done worse things than just eat a different fruit that God said that they shouldn't eat. And what was the curse that happened? Like if we really let ourselves think about that, we have much to be grateful for how merciful God is to us. So he cursed the serpent. And when I was studying the serpent, it's what I came up with was that that was the most desired animal that God created. Like, or I shouldn't say desired, but one of the most beautiful animals that God created. And now that serpent was cursed. And from there on forth, I can't really picture how it would have looked, but obviously the serpent wasn't on its belly, right? But it says here, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat. So that was the curse to the serpent. And what I found fascinating, verse 15 here already gives a prophecy that I'll just read it there. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Still talking about the serpent here too. And it says, in between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's a prophecy already in there that Jesus will crush the serpent's head one day. And the woman got cursed, and we see that's evident today still. With much pain and sorrow, they conceived children. And then to the man, that he will be working, sweating, and he cursed the ground. That's why we have weeds that we're always dealing with. For the farmers, they know very well how hard that is to keep up with that, and how the weeds can choke out the good of the field. Yeah, so why I chose this example, it was right in the beginning of the Bible, and for us to just, for a warning, that when God speaks to you through his word, let us be found faithful in obeying his commands. Like I said before, I've done worse things than just eat a fruit that I wasn't supposed to eat, and God has been very merciful to me. And so let's take heart when God is speaking to us. And the next example I wanted to look at, I mean, there's many examples in the Old Testament that we can see. I thought about Joseph, the temptations he went through, Job. But I chose to look at Jesus when he was being tempted. And let's look at Matthew chapter 4 for that. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Actually, before I go further, I just want to give a little bit of an overview here. This was just right after Jesus had gotten baptized. So right after Jesus' baptism, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. So let's go on now. I just wanted to bring that out. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And just pausing there a little bit, this is where you can see that the Spirit, like there's a verse that says God does not tempt, but God allows it. And that's what was happening here in the wilderness, because it says here, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But when he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of thy mouth," or sorry, out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall fear thee, bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So looking at the first temptation here, why did Satan use bread right away, the first temptation? Because Jesus was fasting. I just had to think, when I fast, food looks pretty desirable, doesn't it? So you have to be temperate. I just can talk about my own experience when I'm fasting, that there's things that I gotta control myself with. And that word, oh yeah, that's the second temptation. I'll go into that after. So Satan asked them here in the first temptation, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And you see how Satan, obviously he's tempting Jesus here, but he's questioning him, "If you are the Son of God." So Jesus knows he's the Son of God, because God sent them to the earth to save us. But he says here, "If you are the Son of God, then prove yourself. Make these stones bread." And the very beautiful part of this is, and this is what we can take heed of and learn from when we are tempted in our lives with certain things, Jesus used the word of God to counter back. And it is powerful. I just know when I just came out of rehab, and I know I share a lot of stories about that, but that was a big part of my life, what was going on. But there too, I learned that whenever you are tempted to go back into your addictions, just use the word of God and even memorize it and say it out loud. Satan quivers at God's word. So here Jesus was saying here, using the reference out of Deuteronomy 8:3, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Many stories here in the Bible about Jesus, we see that Jesus is the Son of God, but we also need to take note that Jesus was fully man. Jesus had all the power he needed to overcome this, but he used God's help in his word to do it. So let's just remember, like, Jesus was fully man here. He could have just worked a miracle here and made the stones to bread, and he could have done that. But we have to remember that Jesus was fully man too when he was here upon the earth. So the second temptation, The second temptation was even more subtle because Satan also used scripture to tempt Jesus. He used that scripture out of Psalms 91 there, which says, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So here Satan uses scripture as well, but just to the advantage of the flesh. What Satan also was doing, in which we need to take heed, is he took God's word out of context. And another thing that I was thinking about is, which I want to exhort us in, when we study God's word, let us be found faithful that we use scripture to, like when we are studying, that we use scripture to back up scripture, right? A lot of times there can be ideas out there. I'm not going to go into those things, but I just know there can be proof texting. They will look at one verse and just go with it and not look at the whole picture, what is actually happening in that chapter, wherever that could be. And so that's what Satan was just doing here. He used it for his fleshly desires to see if Jesus would give in. And then Jesus comes back, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So I also would like to read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. First Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13, it says here, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So why I chose these verses is that they were saying here that the wisdom they were getting, it was of God. And that's what we need to focus on too when we come into conversations with the Word of God. That whatever we say, that God's Word will back it up and not just some thinking out there from other man or however I should word that. So, let's go on to the third temptation then. So the third temptation here, Jesus knew that he had come to the earth to suffer and die on the cross. But Satan offers Jesus his kingdom if he only would bow down to him once. So just looking at the third temptation here, the devil promises his kingdom, which is this earth, right? So he wants Jesus to bow down. And what did Jesus say? "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." I just had to think, you know, we are, as humans, I can see how Satan would want to tempt us, but that he even tried to tempt Jesus. So that's how we know that Satan is very powerful, but for those who are in God's kingdom, we know that we will overcome with the power of God. In Luke 14, verse 3, it says, This is just another, you know how Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of repetitives, like the temptation of Jesus is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Luke 4, verse 13, it says, "And when the devil had ended all these temptations, he departed from him for a season." And why I chose that verse, in Matthew, that last verse, it says here, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." But in Luke, it says there that Satan departed from him for a season. So we have to be aware when we are getting tempted that it's not just going to be a one-time thing or a two-time thing, right? It's our life. We will have to face these things every day in whichever way they come, right? So I just wanted to draw that verse out there that he departed from him for a season. And another example would be is through Peter later on, Satan tempted Jesus to abandon the cross. And that we can find in Matthew 16:21 through 23 that says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." And then look at verse 22. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And then Jesus says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." So here again, Satan was tempting through Peter here, saying that Jesus should just bypass the cross there. And Jesus rebuked him sharply there. What temptations are you facing today? Let's just think about that for a moment. Are you being victorious in your temptations? It can just be a trial, and you know that the more temptations you overcome, the stronger you can get, because God promises that. But what are you facing today? Are you overcoming? But I have to tell you, as unbelievers, if you're facing temptations, what power are you using to overcome it? There's none other power but of God. So, encouragement for you, unbeliever, if you're facing these things, you need to become a child of God, and He will give you the power to overcome whatever temptations you are facing. And then lastly, I wanted to look at James chapter 1, 1 through 18. James chapter 1, 1 through 18. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed be the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's a lot to take in James chapter 1 over here. So I just wanted to put out some warnings that I see here in James 1. And the first one would be, do not waver. We need to be solid in the faith. We cannot waver, and we cannot be double-minded people. You will lose the battle when you're tempted. If you're wavering and you're double-minded, it's a guarantee you will not succeed. That's the warnings we get here. Verse 7 here says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So that's what we are receiving here, is if you're double-minded and you're wavering, your faith is wavering, God will not help you to the extent that you would want. Another warning, and this is not exactly in here, but I'm just using today's warning, Influence is very heavy upon my heart. Many, many people, their influence, and a lot of times they're wrongfully influenced. Let's be careful who influences us. And if you are a very influential person, be careful how you are influencing people. You see that in young people all the time, how they cannot, it's so hard for them to stand against influence. And when you are under the wrong influence, you're literally doing something a lot of times that you don't even want to do. But just because you're under influence, you're doing those things. That when you come home, let's say from being at a friend's house or whatever, when you come home, I've had that many times. I was so scared to go to bed. I was so down. I felt so terrible what I had done, and that was just because I was doing things because of the influence that I was under. So let's take heed there. Let's be good, influential people. At church, we can be a good influence. At work, I hope everyone doesn't separate church and work. I know it's very evident a lot of times when people separate church and work. At work, they're a total different person than at church. So I just want to give that warning out there that it's very critical how we influence the people that are around us. And then they use the rich here as well. I just want to touch on that a bit. There's a warning against the rich here. I'm not saying money is sin, but a lot of times the rich, they fall into, in 1 Timothy 6:9 here, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. which drown men in destruction and perdition. So I just want to bring that out as well. For those of you that are very well off financially, let's take heed that we don't fall into these temptations, because so easily your mind can gear towards, oh, I have the money to pay for this, to pay for that. And then there's the danger of not trusting the Lord. So let's look at verses 13 through 15 here in James some more yet. It says here, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So here we have a sure promise. God will never tempt us. He allows it, but God will never tempt us. And let us never say that we are tempted of God. And in verse 14 is very crucial here. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." You are drawn away if you let your flesh control you. In verse 15 it says, "Then when it has conceived, it bringeth forth sin," and we all know where sin brings us, right? It says here, "When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death." So if you're battling certain temptations in your life, here's a key. Don't let it conceive. We will always face temptations, but don't let it conceive. Because when it does conceive, it brings forth sin. Now I want to look at some good counsel. The trying of our faith works patience, which can also mean endurance. So when we are tried and we will succeed, which it says here in verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." But then in verse 4 it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So the trying of our faith works patience. And I like that word too. I looked it up in Greek, which also meant endurance. And so you will be able to endure. And then, if we lack wisdom, what do? We ask God. Many people's Bible is other people. Man will always fail you. That's a guaranteed as well. That has been so dear to me as well, is growing up in my life in my later teen years, wanting the approval of people. They will fail you. They will fail you. So if we want wisdom, let's ask of God. He will give us wisdom. And then in Matthew 26, verse 41, it says there, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So prayer is a very crucial thing in our life as well. It says watching and praying. It says here that if you enter into temptation, watch and pray. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why we need God's help to overcome these temptations, these tryings of our life. Sometimes we're in those trials and we're like, why God, right? I'm sure everyone has had that question at one point in time. Why? But God always has a reason why he is doing what he is doing. You might not find out at the moment, but if you hold on to God and pray that he will guide you and direct you, and most of all that you can be within his will, then everything will work out well. So in conclusion, I just wanted to read Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, which says here, seeing that we have a great high priest, which is Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful for him today, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So it's more or less saying here, Jesus has been through it all. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So just an encouragement here, Jesus will help us through everything. And another verse that I didn't jot down, but which I really want to share yet as well, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. That was one of the first verses that I memorized in rehab, and it was very encouraging, which says there, there hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with a temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What a beautiful verse. So when you find yourself that this is just not bearable, read this verse, memorize it, however you go about it. God will give you a way out. He will find a way out. And God is faithful. So let's learn of what God has spoken to us today. The temptations that we are facing, I just felt that God laid that upon my heart it's nothing new. But I just wanted to expound on that, and I hope it was a blessing, and may God get the increase, and God bless you all as you serve him.